This is Carl Sabatino, and we are back. Roland Smith, as always, with me. We have in this particular segment, our guest is John Sullivan, Esquire, attorney at law, also involved in matters of state tax authority, imposition of income and sales tax, and residency matters. And this is a topic very dear to my heart. Mr. Sullivan, welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you for having me.
In this kind of a day and age when tax laws are changing on a regular basis, I'm one of the people who actually has read the IRS tax code books. I get a kick out of them. Now they're up to 80,000 some odd words. The whole idea of being taxed and people not knowing the law. Let's talk to that. Let's start this with that.
Okay. Well, basically, there's two different jurisdictions you generally have to worry about as an American citizen: the federal government law and the state law. People always tend to forget about the states, and I do work in both places. Ignorance of the law is actually no defense, which is really not fair. Because if you think about it, the laws are changing all the time. And unless you keep track of these laws, how could you ever know?
It's a full-time job.
It's a full-time job. I mean, I send out a newsletter here and there, and people are like, how could you even keep track of this? Because I keep track of all the states all over the country. So if you have a business that operates in New York, and let's say you sell to 50 different jurisdictions throughout the country, how could you know necessarily how sales taxes are being applied? How could you know all these different things? How could you know the nuances of federal income tax law because of their complications? It's so difficult. Everything that is passed through Congress that's focused on the federal is basically going to the point of what the local jurisdiction, that federal senator wants, right? We get breaks all the time, the energy companies, the food companies, and there's nuances there.
Surely.
That you would never know of. A great example is here in New York City, to your point. My office, your office, anyone who does business in New York City pays a New York City tax of some kind, except for real estate owners. Real estate owners, people who own all the land in this city, any rental management of real estate, they don't pay any city taxes. The law was just passed that way. But you wouldn't necessarily know that. But yet you and I, with our city businesses,
correct,
we pay taxes.
Correct.
And this is all just cutouts here and there. It's kind of like if you look at sales tax, I look at sales tax as Trivial Pursuit. That's what the federal tax law has become with regards to, like, let's say the Obama taxes now for the Medicare surtaxes and stuff. You've got to really decipher through that to figure out if your income is subject to that or not. Certain corporations are subject to it. S-corporations may or may not be. Partnerships may or may not be, depending on what you're doing. Real estate, maybe, maybe not. So to your point, it's very confusing and it's not fair. And now the federal government, the state governments are getting very aggressive to raise revenue against even the smaller taxpayers, because of the computer age now, the computers never shut off.
Well, this is a launch rant question, and Roland, I promise not to rant.
Yeah, right,
he's heard
go.
Me go before on the extraordinary stupidity of all this, because it is absolutely extraordinary stupidity, no matter how you look at it. Mm-hmm. And I'll say no more about that. However, understanding, you mentioned it earlier, ignorance is no defense, okay? You've got to be, and that's where your firm comes in, that's where your business comes in, to explain to even the smallest of businesses their understanding of their tax obligations in the state upon which they work.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
Let's take that as a given. Where is the responsibility end? Does it end at the point of a corporate CFO, could be same owner, small business, where he or she turns it over to you, your office, your organization, and says, okay, Mr. Sullivan, you got it, okay? The responsibility falls to you to teach them, to educate them. Where do you see your responsibility in that relationship? Because this is another legal matter that's coming up in front of the Supreme Court. We talked about them earlier ago.
Well, if you're saying to me, if someone contacts me and
yes,
they say, we have a question, my job is to educate them.
Correct.
But a lot of times, clients, as we all know, we've all been in business in ourselves, they don't always listen to you. I'll give you a small example at the state level. I did some work for an event planner, a very heavily sales taxed business, believe it or not. Very nuanced. Event planners do like 50 things. She was in 25 states, did a whole thing for her. She owed roughly all those 25 states about $1.2 million.
Oh, good Lord.
And they're all different rules, by the way. Some states tax X, some states don't. Put this whole thing to her, give her to her. I'm like, what are you going to do? She's like, I'm not really sure. And she never did anything. She never did anything with it. So my line, to your point, is up to the recommendation and advice point. And a lot of times when people don't take it, guess who they blame? They come back.
Sure.
And that's where that line is. And this comes up a lot. because people are like, well, it's your fault. You didn't advise me and make me do it. I'm like, well, I cannot make you do. It is your business. So that is the extent I go.
That gets,
I advise.
That gets back to the advise and consent question.
Correct.
Yes, Rob.
Should there be a what we used to call, people used to ask for, like a flat tax, flat sales tax all over the United States?
Well, that's an interesting thing. We're a federalist country.
Yeah.
And that's where the problem comes. The states like to run their own fiefdoms, and that's what I call them, fiefdoms. They are 50 separate kingdoms, and there's one we're in right here, so there's 51. And this kingdom is different than the state in which it exists. I am of the opinion that if you want to simplify things and make things easier for business in this country and grow business, you have to unify the sales tax provisions in this country. Because what's taxable here in New York is not taxable in New Jersey, but maybe taxable in Connecticut. And that's not fair to a business owner, because how would he know? If you have a multi-state business, you got to hire people like me to do this work, and that cuts into your bottom line. It makes you difficult to grow your business, and it also takes that animalistic side out of you where you really just want to just grow your business. You do it cautiously because you're so concerned the government's going to come out and stymie your growth because they're going to audit you to death and try and basically take money out of your pocket. So I agree with you. Not a lot of state and local professionals feel that way, or tax professionals. But if we want to grow business in this country, I think the taxes have to be put together. There's something called the Streamlined Sales Tax Agreement that's been put in place. They're trying to get that passed to simplify things. There's a bunch of states involved in it, but nothing has happened because they haven't gotten enough states together to pass that, where they want to unify what's taxable and what's not.
You're probably not going to get that kind of an agreement, since we don't get any kind of compromise or agreement out of Congress anyway,
right,
these days. And is it a congressional thing? Could Congress legislate a national sales tax and then eliminate all other state revenue taxes?
Well, that's something that's been trying to be done. That's kind of where the Streamlined Sales Tax Agreement came from.
Mm-hmm.
They went to Congress, some of the states, not New York, not California, not Illinois, the states that make all the money, the other states. And they said, listen, we want to get revenue for all the income that's being sold into our state that we're not collecting, out of the Amazons of the world and things like
mm-hmm.
that. So we went a unify thing. And Congress said, fine, get a certain percentage of states on board, and then we'll put something in front of Congress. It's now been put in front of Congress a few times, but you cannot get the votes because it actually doesn't go along party lines at all. It splits apart in different chunks. Republicans, Democrats agree and disagree on this all the time. The problem is you have states that want to do what they want to do, this being one of them. And it's very difficult to get New York off of that.
This is, once again, I'm trying very hard, Roland, not to rant here, because I have fought the federal government and the state and lost both times. I'll admit it, I'd lost both times, but it was on principle. It was over $100, by the way, but I was going to tax court because that really bothered. It's a long time ago. It doesn't matter. My point, many legislatures will say the system is broken. It just simply doesn't work. Now we have new businesses coming on the horizon. Okay, you mentioned Amazon. All of the multi-state businesses, many of them doing business on the internet. Okay, there's another tax issue that's come up. Sales tax relevant to that. They collect it. It goes on it goes into your little caboose thing there, your little jacket where the sales tax is noted on. You get your slip at the back end of the transaction. You pay this much in sales tax. But my point is it workable, or should it all be redone again?
Well, I think it is workable. If you can get the states to somehow agree, the problem is, in my opinion, is the United States Supreme Court allows the states to do whatever they want. They will not hear state tax cases. They recently agreed to hear a Colorado case about reporting under this Amazon law.
Correct.
I won't bore you with the Amazon law. Basically, if you advertise in a state, New York passed the law. If you advertise on Amazon wasn't here. They advertise on a company in New York's website, and Amazon compensates that company. Through that, they said Amazon had sales tax nexus, meaning a filing responsibility.
Correct.
In New York. Colorado passed a law, said we won't do that, but we'll make you narc, for lack of a better term, on your customers. Because it wasn't,
in other words, pass it along.
Pass it along to the state.
Ah.
And the Supreme Court said, well, we won't hear the Amazon type of cases, which they already said they won't. They denied cert. But they'll say, well, hear the reporting case, because it's not a tax case.
Correct.
And then there's other things that are going on with the Tax Injunction Act and things I won't bore you with. But the Supreme Court's got to step up and get control. Otherwise, states will go rampant. This has been going on since 2005. So to that point, it's really a federal. The federal government's got to control the states because they're out of control.
We're gonna keep Jack here, okay? Because I know we have some questions I'd like to ask. I'd like to get some advice to our listeners, which I know that you have. But let us, Roland. This is a topic that we can just carry on here.
Well, I know you certainly can, and the rest of us who all pay taxes are always are interested in what we can not have to pay, if that's possible.
Our fair share.
I want to talk to Mr. Sullivan about whether we ought to have a federal flat tax and just do away with all this other junk that we have to deal with every April 15th.
I agree. And I don't know what's holding that up. And maybe Jack can enlighten us on that just a little bit.
You can say Jack, but it's John Sullivan.
Yes, and call me Jack.
Yeah, it's an Irish Catholic.
Is that what it is? Irish. I got it.
Yeah, that's what it is. Exactly.
Call Sabatino, Roland Smith. Smith Sabatino. We're back.
Where are they now with Ahmad Rashad?
This 7'1" center averaged almost 11 points and over 7 rebounds in an injury-riddled 10-year career. He's known for being picked right before Michael Jordan in the 1984 NBA draft.
Portland selects Sam Bowie, University of Kentucky.
So, where is Sam Bowie now? After retiring in 1995, Sam moved to Kentucky where he played college ball. He's one of just 36 players to have their number retired by the Kentucky Wildcats. Sam has become a successful racehorse owner, and you may have seen the 2012 ESPN documentary on his life called Going Big. Hip-hop star Jadakiss also mentioned him in one of his songs. Amazing. No one wants to be like Sam. I'm Ahmad Rashad.
Tired of high cable bills? Call 888-759-MYTV. With packages as low as $19.99 for 4 rooms, you can't go wrong. Call now, 888-759-MYTV.
Welcome to American Biker Minute. Some people think the Hells Angels are a barbershop quartet. They think they heard Show Us Your Zits. Much as we hate to categorize, this is not biker material. Real biker or something else? Today on American Biker Minute.
Do you have troubled skin or acne? With Proactive Plus, your acne can heal and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening. Call Proactive Plus now and receive a 60-day risk-free trial along with 2 free extras and free shipping. Call 800-393-6139. That's 1-800-393-6139.
Jeff Ryan for American Biker Minute. Real biker or not? A lid in Colorado? Nothing to do with marijuana. They only trying to help identify here. If they think chaps are English dudes. If leather bags are found only on old men. If the best riding jacket material is made from wool. Or loud pipes save cash. If they think their lever on a motorcycle handlebar is the emergency brake. They can't possibly be bikers.
Crazy.
American Biker Minute. Your passport to the open road on two wheels.